Hi, I'm Derek Mast.
And I'm Tanya Mast.
We've got two kids, Rainey.
Hiya.
And Emerson.
Da-da.
And we're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up.
This is the journey of two young homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
So, Tanya, my beautiful coffee-infused tree squirrel.
Did you write that down? Do you have a list of these?
Oh, I have a list.
Can I see them?
No, you cannot.
I'm going to confiscate your phone one of these days and
I am
edit.
Going to, there's a lock functionality on notes, which I have employed.
You seriously have locked me out of that note?
Yes.
Is yours and what's yours is mine.
Yes. Yeah. But for the bit to work, I need your reaction every time. So, my darling and lovely wife,
Why did you laugh after that?
No, it's residual. It's okay, residual okay, from the first okay. thing. No.
What did you learn this week, Derek? Since you have a lot more than me.
Yes, apparently.
Usual.
Yeah. Well, you know. I'm gonna go for which one do I want to do first? No matter how many times you introduce gum to it. Toddler as something you do not swallow, they will likely still swallow it.
she only has gotten to try gum twice now.
Right. It was
and it
was
in her mouth
bit.
For a while before. It's a weird new thing.
And it wasn't like a quarter of a stick of gum, so yeah, it's pretty easy to swallow.
I love how after she had it though and she swallowed it, she's like, it make my poop runny because that's like the fallback that we talk about not eating too much of one food group. So she thought that would be the outcome.
Yeah. So Tanya, like, I remember this. We were in the car and Rainey wanted some gum because we were having gum. And Tanya gave it to her and probably reiterated like 3, 4, 5 times, like to a point where I was like, okay, she's probably got it. We're good to not repeat it anymore. And then like 2 minutes later, she swallowed it. And I was like, oops, well.
I think just when she stopped thinking about it, she probably swallowed it.
Maybe.
Because that's what you do with things in your mouth.
That's right. So, Tanya, what have you learned this week? The past, it's not this week. In the last...
Recently.
Recently. There we go.
Well, Emerson has started army crawling everywhere. So, that's so delightful for me to see him experiencing the house like it's really his own. I mean, when you first bring your baby back from the hospital, that's kind of magical just as it is. But when they start exploring on their own and finding all the things, which for Murray, his favorite thing to do is find our Roomba and turn it on. He is so delighted by our Roomba. He gets so excited when he gets it on and then he just follows it around. We also
really
recently
funny.
Realized that we could set him on top of the Roomba and he could ride around, and he is probably the most delighted about that discovery. So maybe I'll have to post a little video snippet on our Instagram with him riding the Roomba. So be sure
Absolutely.
To head over to Instagram if you haven't. There's my little plug.
There we go. Very
for
nice.
Us. Set to learn.
Very good. It's really interesting because Rainey, I remember, like, Rainey would have been probably terrified of the, well, maybe not quite at this stage, but at least uncertain about.
She was a little older, though. Maybe that's part of it, but maybe it's personality.
Well, I remember, like, with just a normal vacuum, like, there was an age where she just didn't care. It was like, oh, that's a vacuum. Like, when she was really little, but I think by the time she started crawling, she started, like, getting. But, like, the Roomba can just, you know, run over Murray's hands, and he's totally happy. It's...
He's wonderfully weird.
He is very... It's great. This isn't so much something that I learned, but a bird landed on my leg and then flew away. It was delightful. I've never had that happen. I was working in a basement of somebody's. They had their doors open and there was a bird flying around, and it was lunchtime and I was reclining and a bird perched on my leg and then left. It was lovely.
We should have a jar that you have to put a quarter in every time you say something that isn't relevant.
That I feel like I can, you know, redeem myself.
Are you
going to
be taking it out of pocket money?
Well,
you're
going to
run out of pocket money really fast. Because you have about 7 things to share each week. And so far, 1/4 is gone.
Oh, man. That stipend's going to be gone real quick.
Yeah. It's okay. It's something that I love about you. I hope other people do, too. So I think that I've talked before about how content Murray is a lot of the time. I mean, he has needs, like everyone, but he self-soothes pretty well. And recently, I've noticed his self-prompts more for what he's looking for. As an example, I was nursing him, and he was pretty rutchy, like moving around. Sorry, that's a Mennonite Dutch word. He was wiggling all over the place. And
I gotcha.
I started patting his butt because I figured he needed some sort of sensory something. And he was still kind of wiggling later, so I stopped, and he reached down and started patting his own butt. Like, he just takes care of what he needs. I was nursing him again recently, and he was rubbing his own leg. And I was like, I wonder if that's what he wants. So I started rubbing his leg for him, and he just like relaxed the rest of the way. And it's like, oh my goodness, he is. He's 9 months, by the way, and he's been doing this for a while. But anyways, I'm just learning to watch for his little prompts for what he's looking for, because he's not incredibly verbal about them, so that I can serve him in that way. Anyways.
Rainey is clever enough to make a joke her own already. Like, so the example I'm thinking of is the one little, two little, three little, is that, what's the original thing? Is it bears or is it something else?
It's probably Indians or something racist. Because old nursery rhymes.
Right, right. So
we normally sing one little, two little, three little elephants.
Okay. All right. Well, either way, it's the one little, two little, three little elephants, four little, five little, six little elephants, because it's all one the whole way through, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I don't know, Rainey was singing this, and then Tanya mixed it up and was like, one little, two little, three little Rainies, four little, five little, six little Emersons, five little, six little, seven, right.
We don't know how to count.
And we don't know
we
how to count.
We were homeschooled.
Either way, 10 little Derricks all in a row. Or daddy's all in a row, something. And we all laughed, and she thought that was silly. And then she went and did one little, two little, three little blueberries, four little, five little, six little strawberries, and like finished it out like that. With different things each time, but not any of the same things that Tanya picked. And it was just kind of, huh, she can kind of pick up on what the humor is already and create that humor in a similar way, but not copying exactly. I don't know. I thought that was a really interesting.
She's also discovery. Lovingly been calling Emerson a little stink pot, which I've probably called him stink pot lovingly like once or twice, but she picked up on it and it's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
Another thing with Rainey recently is that I'm discovering that she does not understand the difference between need and want. And she also doesn't know how to present something as a request versus a command. And I think, I mean, so as an example for both of those things, she'll say, I need a mm-hmm. snack.
Yeah.
I need, you know, where it's more of a want, or I need that toy. Or she'll say, give me water, instead of saying, would you give me water, please?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing that in all fairness, we present things to her as we need to do this normally, because the things that we hold her to are normally things that need to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then she also hears commands from us, put your toys away, versus will you please put your toys away? There mm-hmm. are times that we make requests, but there's also commands. So trying to explain to your child more of like that God has put us in leadership over her and what that looks like as we're serving her so that she can understand that. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I fully understand why that's a hard concept to grasp, because this is what we are modeling to her.
Right, exactly.
I can't find my words tonight for some reason.
You're doing great. I'm understanding you. I mean, that's not saying much, but...
That really is not, because we are constantly finishing each other's...
Sentences.
Yeah. Ah! I was going for sandwiches, but...
Oh, well, I do that too, that's for sure. The last thing that I think I learned recently that I'm going to talk about is that I can make shoes out of paper bag and twine if necessary.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so this one was a little bit of a fight, because so I go around barefoot all the time. I don't even think about it anymore. It used to be like a few years ago, like before I married Tanya and a little bit after, that it would be sort of a semi rebellion thing against the man who forced you to walk around in shoes.
And just to clarify, barefoot to church.
Yes.
Barefoot to Chick-fil-A, barefoot to the Chinese buffet.
Mm-hmm. Barefoot in Lowe's.
We almost got kicked out of the diner that we were in on our honeymoon because barefoot.
Really? I forgot about that.
Yeah. Normally it's other customers that get annoyed and they're like, that's against health code violations. And Derek's like, actually, it's not. I mean,
we did get kicked out. Well, we were asked to leave or put shoes on. I don't remember if you were along for that, at the local Chick-fil-A. One of the ladies who, she knows us very well, works there, asked, hey, there's a customer that feels really uncomfortable with your bare feet, which are touching the floor and not his food. But he was very upset anyway.
And really, it's something that I appreciate about Derek, and I love being barefoot too. Mm-hmm. But we've had enough stressful situations when we're out and about that it is kind of stressful, and we just try to be prepared and have shoes in the car if possible.
So we went to a local grocery store outlet sort of thing, because it was a family adventure. We were going to go. We were just going, and I meant to put shoes in the car, but I didn't, which, you know... Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. And that store happened to actually have a sign on the door saying no shoes, no shirt, no service. I'm like, crap. And I know Tanya was already frustrated. I was going to tear the car apart looking for shoes. And the only thing I had was we had like a paper bag and some string in the car. And so I made myself some shoes out of string and convinced Tanya somehow to let me go in the store with her. And it actually turned into kind of a lovely time.
It was one of those moments that I was like, I can either be angry, which isn't going to accomplish anything, or we can laugh about this and create a memory. Mm-hmm. Paper bag shoes are really loud. As if people weren't looking at us already. They were like squish, squish, squish everywhere we went.
Yep. It definitely took a couple of minutes for me to not have to think about it constantly.
And on the way out, they were like falling apart. And I'm like, sweet mercy, they're never going to let me back at this store.
They'll only remember me, though. They're not going to remember you as much.
I don't know. I think we're all a pretty memorable package.
We are together. A pretty memorable package. So the night was mostly saved. And I found a new skill that I hope to never have to use again. I now have shoes in the car for such times as these, thankfully. So we have learned. That's actually what I have learned. Okay, I have learned. I'm the only one who learned here.
I only have two white hairs to show for it. So,
what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I don't know. What are we going to be talking about?
Yeah, we had two topics kind of floating around, but I think we're going to talk about yelling versus raising your voice.
Is there a difference?
Is there a difference? And what is it? And should we be doing either? So what do we think people are talking about when they make this distinction? Well, how do you hear about this from people? Like... There is the assumption that you know, you don't yell. Yelling is bad. Yelling is a bad thing to do. But raising your voice is different. And why do you think people draw that distinction?
I don't know. A lot of people I hear say, like, your kids won't take you seriously unless you yell. But mm-hmm. I think that I agree with you that the majority thinks that yelling is not a great mm-hmm. plan.
Or at least people in our culture. Like, I also recognize that yelling is far more acceptable in other cultures, just because that is the way people do things. But I mean, we're speaking from our perspective, so try not to think we're speaking for all people with our experiences anyway.
When I think about the two, yelling seems like a loss of control and mm-hmm. just emotion spilling out, whereas raising your voice seems like you're getting frustrated and you feel like you need to communicate purposefully louder mm-hmm. for someone to hear what you're saying.
Right. I think people see it as a way to cut through the noise and present yourself as authority with raising your voice, because it just helps people pay attention and I don't know, knock them out of their stupor of, you know, not paying attention to you when you're the authority. And
there was a lot of yelling in my house growing up, though, which my parents would admit, which was not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it became a discussion of, like, well, I wasn't yelling. I was just raising my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like yelling. So
right.
It's the two are close enough that you can justify one if you're trying to avoid the other.
Absolutely. Yeah. So do we see, is there any precedence anywhere that you know of for raising your voice? Like in the Bible, or is this kind of a thing that we've seen trickle down into our culture as just, this is a normally acceptable thing?
Well, I feel like you can easily find scientific studies about that yelling is not valuable in parenting, can be mm-hmm. damaging to kids. Obviously, like, I think God's grace needs to be brought into this, that if you have yelled, God's grace can obviously cover over that. Like,
oh, yeah,
your child
absolutely.
Is not a
yeah.
lost cause. But yeah. I think it's definitely, I mean, the way that language is discussed in the Bible and the way that we're supposed to communicate and use language, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure. I mean, language is powerful, and I think the Bible makes that clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also just thinking about, like, is it ever a good plan to yell in my marriage? Like, I think that people would pretty quickly say, don't yell at each other in marriage. So why would we yell at each other? Why would we yell at our children?
Yeah, and honestly, this is kind of a metric that we're taking to a lot of our parenting and just relationships with people in general. Like, if there's something that is not acceptable in a relationship with another adult, whether it be your spouse or a friend or a coworker or a boss or whatever, like, we need to really make sure that this is acceptable in dealing with our children, and make sure that we have, you know, a good example from it biblically.
Why would we model an unhealthy relationship to our children? Like, we're setting the standard for the rest of their lives for how they should relate to other image bearers. So,
yeah, that's an excellent point.
But I mean, I have heard people ask for advice on parenting pages about, you know, my child is being difficult. What do I do? And people are like, just spank more, just shout louder. Like, mm-hmm. if they don't understand you now, then, like, raise it up. And I mean, whenever someone says to, like, grow harsher in the conditions to reach the heart of your child, mm-hmm. maybe we're missing the mark and there's another conversation that has to be had, but we're not going to turn this into another spanking conversation. So.
I think it happens to be drifting over there inevitably, doesn't
Sorry.
It?
Sorry. Oh, I'm done.
No, but I was kind of going to go the same way that, I think we don't want to see parenting our children like Pavlov's dog, right? Like, we're not, the whole thing with gentle parenting is not punishment based or like conditioning your child to respond when, you know, you click the clicker, which is,
I could train my child to come running when I clap three times.
Yes.
Because they fear the results of what will happen when they don't. But right. Has my child actually learned the value of hearing me, or is my child just responding in fear? And mm-hmm. when the fear disappears, will the understanding still remain?
Right. This is definitely hyperbole for the sake of making a point. But I do think it's valuable to think about some of this stuff, like by upping it a couple of notches and seeing if it still, you know, passes muster. That's a phrase, right? Passing muster?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I was just thinking about how, like, when I'm in the grocery store, I want to be able to shoot lightning bolt with my eyes so that my children will obey me because they fear me.
What are you saying? No, okay.
I'm quoting the wise people of today.
Are you trying to get into perhaps the second topic there, Tanya?
No, of course not.
You're not getting into a second topic?
Nope.
Are we teasing this topic so we can talk about it next week?
Nope.
If you would like us to talk about that topic that Tanya happens to be mentioning, you can reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Talk about those lightning bolt eyes. Anyway, but yeah, whenever we have to ratchet up the punishment or the consequence that makes the child respond in the way that we like, I think that's probably the wrong way to go about it. And I think that's what you would say too, right?
Yeah, the only time that I would say yelling is appropriate is to get your child's attention quickly in case of danger.
Right.
Because there is not time to communicate slowly and quietly and get their attention in other forms, in other ways.
Just like that's about the only reason I would consider tackling someone down to the ground would be for safety purposes.
Yes.
And in case of emergency.
Yeah. I raised my voice today when I found Rainey sitting on Emerson. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was across the room, so I mm-hmm. couldn't just pull her off quickly.
Yeah. But was that raising your voice or was that yelling?
It was raising my voice. Because I didn't reach the decibels of yelling.
Okay, so is there a difference between raising your voice and yelling?
I think that there are different volumes, and I think that yelling is a lot less constrained.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're so close that, I mean, maybe you would say that I was yelling. I don't think that I was yelling. I think that...
I don't know that that's a bad thing, though. I think there's probably value in combining them into one definition and then realizing that, you know, yelling for your child to get off the other child can be a good thing, especially when the child being sat upon is only, 9 months?
Well, again, I would only say yell if it's a safety concern.
Right, right. But I think that helps keep us honest, too.
Also, honestly, I was alarmed, so...
Right, right.
That's what was coming out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, alarm. So anyway, I was going to say, so if we have multiple occurrences of a punishment or a consequence happening that isn't helping the child sort through the situation or be deterred, then I think there comes the point of, okay, what's the next step? How do we get the child to understand, perhaps? Or is there something else deeper that we're not catching that clearly these consequences are not, you know, big enough that the child doesn't want to keep doing what they're doing?
The words are not communicating, and saying the words right. louder will not make them communicate
right, exactly.
more clearly.
Yeah. So just as a practical outworking of this discussion, I would just say we want to make sure that if we yell, which there are certainly times for that, that we make sure it's not repetitive. You know what I mean? And that
yelling is only for safety
right.
issues.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Let's see if there was there anything else.
You just sounded like you were going back on what you said. So I was just clarifying. That's what you mean, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. But if there's multiple safety, like if the safety issue keeps happening that we have to yell, there's something else that should be addressed because the fact that we're yelling more means
Okay.
So either we need to remove the hazard, either we need to put, you know, Emerson separate from Rainey for a while or, you know, something else.
Yeah.
That's all I was trying to get at.
Okay.
The other thing I would say is that if for those who may say that yelling is a good thing, that typically this only provokes anger. And I know that from personal experience. Pretty much I would say if anyone was asked, hey, if someone came up and yelled at you to do something as opposed to asked you and helped you through the situation, like, which do you prefer? What would yelling make you angry? I would think most people would say.
I mean, honking your horn is necessary sometimes, but how do you feel when someone honks their horn at you? Are you ever
right,
like,
exactly.
Oh, thank you. I was not realizing that I needed to go through the stoplight.
Mm-hmm. This is why I never honk my horn at people.
I know.
And it's kind of a bad habit. But yeah. Yeah, again, they're for emergencies.
I honk my horn.
And Ephesians 6:4 says, do not provoke your children to anger.
But bring them up in the admonition of the Lord.
Very good. Did we talk about alternatives for raising your voice?
In theory, maybe not indefinitely. Okay. Do you have any examples?
I mean, I have like... I have some alternative examples of alternatives, but not like situationally.
Okay. Well, that's up to you.
Okay. I would just say, remember that patience is key for basically everything involving parenting. All the time, patience is needed. And I don't have enough of it yet.
Have patience. Don't be in such a hurry.
You can always walk away for a bit.
Remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times when others had to wait on you.
And remember that we are setting a precedent always in how we communicate and act, and that yelling will be very quickly picked up on, especially if my child is picking up the nuance of comedy via music and putting her own spin on it. Like, she can understand if I'm yelling at her and what the context is, and that, oh, maybe this is okay to do to other people.
I do think a large part of this is teaching emotional intelligence, and I do think it is valuable to tell our children when their choices are frustrating us. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not saying to just be like happy-go-lucky all the time, you know? I mean, I think it's important because our children need to know that we have emotions and see us express them and communicate that to them. Mm-hmm. But there's also lines on how much emotion we're going to throw out there depending on the age, because they can't grasp
right
as much as we could give them sometimes, but they can grasp a lot. So, I mean, I told Rainey today, when you shout at me for something that you want, that makes my heart sad.
Mm-hmm.
That when you did that, that was frustrating for me. Mm-hmm. And she knows how to communicate. I mean, she says that she's frustrated or she's so angry.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really valuable. I would say that the distinction of saying when you do this, it's frustrating versus you are frustrating me, which doesn't give any sort of active steps that they can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other subject.
Yeah. Cool. Shall we wrap it up?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a new thing that our listeners could do. So you can tweet the hashtag AskSTL. Like set to learn and ask us a question. I don't know if we'll, I think it could be fun if we do questions. You can ask about our lives, about what we would do in a particular situation. We may not have the answer, but you can totally ask it and we'll do our best.
You can ask, where do you get off giving advice?
Hey, you can do that too. You can also try it on Instagram. Apparently you can follow hashtags on Instagram, which we can do, and ask STL is a pretty slow hashtag. So should be good on Instagram too. And that would also mean that you could ask us a question via video if you wanted to. Take a little Instagram video and put a little Ask STL on it. I think that could be fun. What do you think?
Oh, I think it could be fun.
All right. Cool. And we would, of course, play that on the air if we answer your question. So there's that. Thanks for doing a show with me this week, honey.
Yeah. I love you and your paper shoe madness.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram or Twitter at SetToLearn. And our website is SetToLearn.com. Keep learning, and we'll see you next time.